All right, y'all. So welcome back to another edition of The Life of Pharaoh Poe. And like I said, it's kind of behind the scenes of my life, Poe. And I got one of my homies on the show. I've been friends with him for a couple years now. I like his style. He's like my brother from another. So Kevin from Kevin Hates Hip Hop. How you doing, bro?
Good, good. What's going on? What's up? Yeah. Appreciate you for tapping in. Let me come on your show. You feel me? You know what I mean? We both been podcasting for a long time, so.
Yeah, I remember before I used podcasting, I remember I met you through, I want to say, Nancy. Nancy introduced me to you. So I remember you was a publisher. So just talk about your background.
Okay. Like I said, I'm Kevin Robinson. I'm originally from the Bay. You feel me? I worked in music for over 10 years. I went to college on the East Coast, interned at Def Jam. This is back 2003, 2004. And interned for Def Jam for a minute, then started interning for Dipset. And then from there, graduated, left school, and then in 2007, went back home to the Bay. And then I started interning for a group out the Bay called Zion I. And working with Hieroglyphics at Souls of Mischief and shit. My mentor at that time, his name was Tim House, you know what I mean? And he showed me a whole lot of game, you feel me? So I soaked up a lot of music game at the time from most street niggas with Dipset, and then I soaked up a lot of game with Hyro and Zion I, and niggas be thinking they like on some conscious shit. They some hood niggas too, like everybody else too. You know what I'm saying? So I soaked up a lot more game with Zion I because they were super underground and they did everything themselves. You know what I mean? Mm. And they had no major label distribution behind them like, you know, Dipset had. You feel what I'm saying? So I worked with them for about a year or two. And during that time, I was probably like 22. So I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do in music. And I was like, well, fuck, I want to be a manager. And I'm watching Tim House manage Zion I. I'm like, nah, I don't really want to do that shit because it seemed like babysitting. And that's nothing against the guys, you know what I mean? But when you are managers for rappers and shit, you basically babysitting niggas. You a guardian, you know what I'm saying? And that's not my lifestyle. Like, for me, I just want to do my job and get the fuck on. I don't live. And when I worked in rap, I didn't live the lifestyle. Like, I didn't fuck around. I didn't do none of that shit. For me, it was just a lick. You feel me? Because I'm coming from the streets and shit. And it kind of just, like, saved my life from doing street shit. You know what I'm saying? So I started writing for SF Weekly, San Francisco Weekly and shit, Spin Magazine. And, you know, you don't get paid nothing when you a journalist. It just sounds nice. And I was 22, so it was cool. You know what I mean? And then from there, I interviewed one of my first clients, Dom Kennedy. You know what I'm saying? So I put out Dom Kennedy. I worked with Dom Kennedy from 2009 to 2012. So I put everything out from Future Street Drug Sounds all the way up to right before Yellow Album. So I put out all that shit, everything that got him hot.
But when you say you worked with him, that mean like with you as publicist?
I was his publicist. I didn't explain that. Okay. So I figured out from interviewing on the journalist side, man, let me do the other side of the game and be a publicist. That makes sense, right? So I started doing PR. In 2000, I started my PR firm, Uncovered Third PR, October 5th of 2008 when I was 23 and 24. And then from there, I got Dom Kennedy. I got Chip the Ripper from Cleveland, Audio Push, Glasses Malone, a whole lot of motherfuckers, man. And I moved to LA in 2009, and I just really started treating the PR shit on some hustle shit. Like, I would see a lot of publicists that was nothing like me. These motherfuckers with Nancy Byron was probably the only publicist I fucked with. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, for y'all listening who don't know who Nancy is, Nancy.
Oh, she a goat. It's your OG.
Yeah, she put all the niggas out of Houston in the 2000s, everybody, all the motherfuckers. She put them niggas together. She got them popping. You know what I'm saying? But specifically, Pimp C, that was her his her main client. You know what I'm saying? Outkast too for a minute. And other, like, you know, a lot of publicists I met, they'd be a bunch of, you know, IG model type bitches and shit. I can cuss on here, right?
Yeah, you good. It's a normal conversation.
Okay, because you know I'm blunt as fuck, so I don't know how to turn that shit off.
Yeah, now you good.
Just want to make sure, nigga, you might have some corporate sponsors and shit that don't want to hear all that. You feel me?
They good. You got Anchor's our sponsor, but they good.
Okay. Anchor don't give a fuck. They don't care. They want the real.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I had met when I first got into the PR game when I moved to LA. It was just like, you either met some, and this is before IG, but this is like, you know, some old socialite bitch who be in a club all the time, so she call herself a publicist.
Yeah.
Or you get a some, you feel me, some super square ass Carlton Banks ass nigga who don't really know nothing about the streets or like rap like that. And then you had me, who was a street nigga, who, when I'm talking to rappers, we speak the same language. You know what I'm saying? So I basically, you know, I came in doing PR and I did real well. I did hella well. I just treated it like some street shit. And
I would say, before you go a little deeper though, I want to get your definition of a publicist. What's a good publicist to you before you keep going? Because a lot of people don't understand what a publicist does anyway.
Well, in these days and times, I wouldn't even know what rap publicists do. Like I said, I had my PR firm from 2008 to about 15, 16. Mm-hmm. And the bulk of what I did was like internet, blog shit, you know what I'm saying? Get niggas on Complex, MTV. A publicist is basically just gonna amplify your career. So I know your main demographic is independent rappers and shit like that. But you young cats, man, I would tell you, you know, definitely try to get a publicist, or if you don't wanna get it, if you can't afford, and this is real shit, don't reach out to no PR firm if you ain't got a bag. Don't even waste their time. Because I had a lot of niggas that would reach out to me and they would see what I did for this nigga and that nigga. You got to have a bag, nigga. Like, I'm talking about a couple of thousand, G. You feel me? And a lot of times with, you know, you get what you pay for. Some of y'all will, you might get somebody who might be a blogger at wherever and they're like, yo, I do your PR for $250 a month. You know, and I'm giving y'all real deal prices because some of these niggas is just, they could charge you $250 to get a post. And that ain't gonna do shit for your career.
Some Fiverr posts too.
Yeah, that ain't gonna do shit for your career, period. Like I said, when I came up, it was more like the blog shit, but now it's like Spotify playlists and that type of thing, which is a lot more impactful. You get a lot more people that'll see your shit now, hear your shit now. But as an artist, you need PR. You need PR, marketing, and radio. Every artist needs PR, advertising, radio. You need those. You know what I'm saying? And radio could be fucking XM radio, could be MTV, could be whatever. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's what I did with PR, man. You know what I mean? So like I said, I ran the check up all the way through like 2015. And I, you know, it was a childhood dream to work in music and I did it. And now I'm doing bigger shit. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, so what made you want to switch over to?
Well, music for me, like I said, it was, and that leads into my podcast, Kevin Hates Hip Hop. Like, I didn't necessarily pick that title at the time. I had somebody I was cool with, and he used to always be like, damn, like, you hate hip hop. I'm like, I don't hate hip hop. I hate the niggas that work in it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of bullshit ass niggas in hip hop, but niggas ain't really that thorough. It's some cool, you meet a couple of cats that's solid, but for the most part, for anybody watching who just, you probably just getting your feet wet and you you know, it's you know, it is what it is. If you coming in on some lick shit, like, yeah, get your money. But for me, I have integrity and shit. I wasn't finna be nobody yes man and kiss nobody ass. It's a lot of that shit going on. So, but yeah, I mean, like working in music, like I said, it was a dream of mine as a kid. And I got to do it. And I got to do it at a pretty high level, independently. You know what I'm saying? I didn't work for CAA and none of these big time agencies. I started my own shit and, you know, I did good. You know what I'm saying? I did real good. So, but from there, like I said, Kevin Hates Hip Hop, my podcast started 2014. You know, I just grew resentful of working in the industry with a bunch of fake ass niggas and you know, motherfuckers wasn't 1,000. And you try to get in the industry and try to befriend certain people, and you realize like a lot of people in the industry are just opportunists. They're not real, you know what I'm saying, who they fucking say they are like that. So for me, it was just like, I knew when I first like started my PR firm, I'm like, I'm not gonna be in this shit this long. I'm gonna get my money, do what I gotta do, and I'm gonna go do something else. And that's me doing real estate now, you know, Pacific Home Buyers, you know, wholesaling properties and shit. That's what I do now. You feel what I'm saying? And I launched that shit, about a year and a half ago, brand new. But I'm a hustler, so for me, like, the music thing wasn't like, this is all I can do. Like, a lot of niggas that get in the music industry, it's just like, this is it. I can't do nothing else. I can sell anything, nigga. I've been hustling since I was 15. So for me, it was just like, all right, I don't sell rappers' dreams no more. I fucking sell houses. I sell, you feel me? Like, I just had that e-commerce, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Man. So
how you like the real estate game?
Real estate is cool. The thing is, I'm glad for every progression I went through. You know, when I was 15, I was hustling in high school, little lightweight shit. College, I started selling Jordans out the trunk of my car, shit like that. And then, you know, selling rappers' dreams and shit. Then progressively now I'm selling houses and shit. So it makes sense, you know, what I'm doing. It's just a natural progression. It's cool, man. I like it, you know. And it's recession-proof. It's recession-proof what I do. So, you know, even in the midst of this corona shit that's going on right now, the economy could be a bear market or it could be a bull market. People always going to need somewhere to stay. You know what I mean?
So. You're right about that. So talk about more of your podcast. Like, what are some of the topics you discuss?
All right, so Kevin Hayes Hip Hop. Like I said, I launched that shit March 24th of 2014, 6 years ago. Initially, it was just going to be, I've always had a creative outlet. In college, I had a blog. I used to, like, 2005, 2006. It was just something I used to just write, little fucking, you know, whatever I was going through at the time. And I've always had a journal of some sort, like, even when I was little, 5, 6 years old, I used to, you know, write a little notebook and shit, and it helped me out a lot, you know what I'm saying, because I'm an introvert, you know what I'm saying, I don't fuck with a lot of people, and the people I do fuck with, I fuck with 175%, so, you know, I was an only child and shit, so I always had a creative outlet, writing, and even when I was like, I say in fifth grade, my mom bought me a boombox, or some of you young ass niggas, I was born in like 97, 98, you don't know what the fuck a boombox is. Look it up, nigga. Like, a lot of y'all fucking
Google it. Google it.
But nah, you know, it was a stereo system. You know, and it had a microphone. So my mom gave me some blank tapes and shit. And this is like fifth grade, bro. And I'd be like, yo, this is Kevin. Woo, fucking around. Just like, I always kind of wanted to do a radio thing. I thought it sounded cool. So when I got to college in 06, podcast came out in 06. Me and my homie was trying to figure out how to do it. We didn't know how to do it. So I started doing, SoundCloud came out, 2010, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I used to, like, on Monday mornings, I would go to my girl house and shit on the weekend. And on Monday mornings, I would drive back to my crib. And I would just do these things, little sound bites called Morning Mouthpiece. And that kind of, like, kind of a format I still use now, 10 years later. And I would just be talking about, you know, just chopping game, whatever, you know what I'm saying? And that morphed into Kevin Hayes Hip Hop. And from there, I've had that for the last 6 years. And I talk a lot of business shit, a lot of just get better shit, man, and progressing, you know what I mean? The name of the podcast is just a play on words. My podcast has nothing to do with music at all. I play a song at the beginning of every single episode, a hip-hop song generally, and then I get into the game. You know what I mean? So if you're looking to get better, you want to stay stagnant, don't listen to my shit. Because you're going to get all bitter and spiteful. Like, man, what the fuck? This nigga chopped my whole lot up. Nah, nigga, like, you trying to get better, like, most people listen to this podcast. You trying to get better, further your career, fuck with my shit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of get money shit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of niggas got stimulus packages for $1,000, $1,200, and you don't know how to invest it. Rather than trick that shit on some Balenciagas, or a bitch on OnlyFans, You know what I'm saying? Come learn how to fucking motherfucking create an asset. You know, and I talk a lot about that. My last episode was about that. Starting like 10 different businesses and with less than $1,000. You know what I mean? And fitness and, you know what I'm saying? It's my shit's evergreen. You know what I'm saying? So if you just trying to get better in any aspect of your life, especially with getting money and getting healthy, my shit is there for you.
And it's probably helping you improve more too, right?
Oh, most definitely, man. My podcast for me has saved my life in a lot of ways, bro. Because when I started in 14, that was kind of like the decline of me working in rap. And I got out of rap and I was going through all, kind of like me chronicling my life, literally of just coming of age. When I started, I was 6 months before I turned 20, before I turned 30. And it literally from 30 now to 35, almost 36, in the last 6 years of my life, and just chronicling everything. And I went through a lot of wild shit in the last 3 years. You know, I had went through an ego death and all type of shit, like really like rebuilding myself, you know what I'm saying? And you know, it's weird because it's like I've always had journals or I've always had some kind of outlet to write. And I have a lot of old shit from college, 2003, 2004. And I'm like, damn, you can look at your penmanship and be like, damn, I was going through a lot of shit that day. I wrote this or whatever. And with the podcast, you know, I'll be like, every now and then I have somebody DM me like, damn, G, I'm 20, I'm 30. And I just had the same thing happen to me on this episode. I'm like, I'm 271 episodes in. So I'm like, damn, I'm going to go back and listen to what they was talking about. I'm like, fuck, man. Had I not had that podcast at that point, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what the fuck I would have been going through. So my podcast for me is therapeutic. You know, some people, they go to therapy. You know what I'm saying? I never was one. And I'm not knocking you. If you go to therapy, that's great. I haven't yet. You know what I'm saying? But my therapy's always been a microphone. You know what I'm saying? Like chopping game and on the podcast and shit. So literally, like, my therapy is, you know, waking up every morning, having black seed oil, working out, drinking some green tea, and then like once a week doing my podcast or like the morning mouthpiece. That's something I created on my – I just started a YouTube channel. I don't know why I didn't do this shit years ago. You told me to do that shit years ago, bro. I didn't even listen to your ass, bro.
Yeah.
You told me years ago. You got hella fucking subscribers and shit. I'm like, damn, bro, this nigga building your shit. You know what I mean?
All right, dude. It's still hard, though.
Yeah, it is, but you know what? You got hella content. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got good content too. So I just started my YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube.com, I know everybody, y'all watching this, just go to Kevin Hates Hip Hop, all one word. And I do two different segments. I do the podcast episodes, and I do a piece called The Morning Mouthpiece with me and my man Rail on IG Live once a week. We usually do them at like 8, we're going to start doing them at 8 in the morning. And it's sporadic, man. It's not like we do them on a specific day. And we get on IG and we just chop game. You know, whatever I don't talk about on my podcast, me and him will talk about. It's a little bit more raw than the podcast. Podcast, I don't talk politics and religion. I stay out of that type of shit. That's not really my forte.
I'm going to ask you about when you were saying you went through ego death. I want you to talk about that a little bit.
Ego death, so... For anybody asking what the fuck is ego death, it's exactly what it sounds like. I built up this huge ego when I worked in rap.
Mm-hmm.
And it, for me, it was like something, and it's like, it's cool talking about it now because I'm a little older, you know. 10 years ago, you know, I covered up a lot of shit, insecurities and shit with ego. And I used a lot of insecurities I had by... you know, that might have lingered from when I was younger, and I covered that shit up with, you know, rap ego, bravado and type of shit. Like, so I'm working with a bunch of rap niggas, so a lot of cats think just because you're a rapper, you got to be egotistical. Mm-hmm. You got to go all for self. And niggas, I'm going to tell you something. I worked in rap 10 years. The rap niggas I worked with that was the ego monsters, they didn't last long. And even if they still around now, they not popping like that. Like, they not where they could be. You know what I'm saying? It's the niggas that was, I wouldn't say humble, because to humble yourself is to belittle yourself. I would say the niggas that was approachable, you know what I'm saying? Like, cool niggas. Like, you know, you hear motherfuckers talk about, man, when I met so-and-so, he was cool as fuck. Those are the niggas that last long. But for you niggas who got a Kanye persona with a Walmart budget, like, y'all, you're not going to be remembered, G. You know what I'm saying? The niggas remember Nipsey Hussle because I met that nigga in 2009 when he put out Bullets With No Name mixtape. We met that nigga on Rodeo. No security, no none of that. He didn't have no Cuban links. He was just a regular nigga in a Regal. Cool as fuck. Met the nigga again in the studio. He didn't even know who the fuck I worked with. Met him again in the studio a couple of years later. Cool as hell. You know what I'm saying? But I allow my ego to die because, like I said, I built up a lot of just resentment when I was a kid. And I, you know, black men, we had this thing where we don't really speak. We don't really talk about our mental health. That's something I talk about a lot on the podcast. It's important that you express your mental health because if you just walk around harboring a whole bunch of shit, you're going to do something real detrimental either to you or to the niggas around you. You know what I'm saying? So for me, my shit was I started drinking too fucking much. You know what I'm saying? So I would drink a whole lot, ended up gaining hella weight, eating all type of bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And then I went through a detox where I just took a summer off. You know what I mean? I was like, I ain't drinking this summer. I lost hella fucking weight. I got up to like 300 pounds, bro. It's like 13. And, you know, I got down. I cut back down about 240. That's where I'm supposed to be at. And, you know, after getting out of rapping shit, man, because you just feel like, you know, it's just like you feel like you invincible, bro. Like when I was working in rap, I was independent. I was working from the crib. I had a little staff working remote. I felt like I was, you know, I felt like I couldn't be touched. And then I started to lose. I started to lose because I stopped giving a fuck about, you know, the clientele I had. I had a lot of niggas. I would just take their money. And this is just real shit. I didn't believe in their music at all. I would just take their money and just keep it moving. And when you don't have a passion for what you do, I'm the type of nigga where you could tell when I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't know how to pretend. I don't know how to put on no poker face and be like, oh, yeah, go team. I'm like, all right, whatever. Yeah, I do that. And I started to do that, and my work started to, you know, fall off. And I was trying to figure out that last tail end of me working in rap, like, what the fuck am I going to do next? I couldn't figure it out. So, you know, I closed up Uncovered Third PR, and I had about 3 years of soul searching, man. Where I had to, like, I lost everything, like everything I worked for. I fucking lost I sold my Chevelle. I had a 72 Chevelle I bought when I was 24. Sold that motherfucker. Fucking, I was buying, like when I was working in rap, I was buying all the liabilities. And I talk about this a lot on my podcast, like hood rich shit. Louis Vuitton, Fendi, you know, this is the monogram era too.
What you built?
This was the monogram era. So this is like 2009 through 2014. Everybody had monogram, Fendi. I had all that shit. And I used to just blow thousands of dollars on stupid shit and then realize like, oh, this shit don't mean nothing. So when I lost it all, you know what I'm saying? I had to do what I had to do. I lost everything from 100,000 to a rack. I had to rebuild myself for three fucking years. You know what I'm saying? And the ego dying was the best thing for me because initially when I started losing it all, my ego would tell me like, you know, your ego a lot to you and how you believe and you use it like a security blanket. You know what I'm saying? And how you believe in like, oh man, it's not that bad or oh, it's going to bounce back. And it never did. So I had to learn new skills. I had to learn wholesaling and real estate. And it literally went from me living in Hollywood to living in Koreatown in a little bullshit-ass little studio apartment fucked up in the game, like real fucked up in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like so much to the point where it was like literally I was thinking about going back to the streets, like real shit. But luckily, you know, I didn't put myself in that position. And I found wholesaling in real estate, and it's been a blessing, man. Like, I don't know. If you go listen to episodes from like 2011, 2012, Oh, no, not 2012. But, like, the earlier episodes, the first, like, 100-something episodes, I'm not the same nigga at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like, you know, like I said, I'm at, like, 270-something now. I'm 35. I just look at the world completely differently. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, my ego death, man, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, it was a scary thing when you go through it, especially for my niggas who have a whole lot of bravado and you hide your insecurities through your ego. You know, it's a negative attribute, man. It's you blind yourself to a whole lot of opportunities and interactions that you could have made that could have probably saved you in your near future, because your ego will blind you. You be like, man, fuck that. I don't need this nigga. I don't need that nigga. I don't need this nigga. I don't need that. You know what I'm saying? And you put yourself in a box to where people don't even want to fuck with you like that. And, you know, I helped a lot of niggas when I worked in music, dog, pro bono, like niggas that didn't even really have no bread. And I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to put that nigga on this, man. I'm going to put him in this position to win. The niggas will start winning, and they was, who the fuck they going to do? You think they still calling you when you need? They don't need you no more. You know what I'm saying? And that's one thing when I worked in rap, I'm like, bro, I put so many niggas in a position. Motherfuckers talking about they lost their job and all type of shit, and I give them $1,000. Oh, somebody need a graphic design. I know you do that. $1,500. You know what I'm saying? I don't want no finders for you. I just want to see you get back on your feet. When I lost to her, who the fuck was there? Nobody. You know what I'm saying? Me and my chick. That's it. She the only one that stayed down. And, you know, I had to go through that. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, ego death, as scary as it can be, it's a beautiful thing once you get on the other side of the game. You had that revelation. You know, I think every black man that has that bravado needs to go through it. You know what I'm saying? It humbles you. You know what I'm saying? It really does. And I had to have that happen. You feel me? I got put in situations after I had it or after I went through it that I never thought I would go through. I never thought that I'd be sitting in the courtroom, you know what I'm saying, with the fucking court, with the judge trying to put me away. You know what I'm saying? Like, real talk. I'm not going to go on hella deep, but that's just what I was. From a year before, I'm up, you know what I'm saying, six figures, to a year later, I'm like, damn, gee, they trying to put a nigga away. Like, literally. So, yeah, man, it was the best thing to happen to me.
And we about to wrap it up, but I know you're a wrestling fan, so I just want you to talk wrestling a little bit. Talk about some of your favorite promotions right now.
Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. Like, a lot of niggas interview me and they don't notice that. I mean, I fucking tweet that shit all day. Wrestling,
yeah.
That's it. Wrestling, boxing, and hip-hop, nigga.
Yeah. Fitness with a Savage, Cooking with a Savage, Reading with a Savage. Yeah, I got you.
All that shit. Reading with a Savage, all that. So look, I've been, cause you, me and you, you a big wrestling head too. So I know she was a little kid.
Yep.
And you from the South, so you from NWA land. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So for me,
and look, USWA.
Yep.
The one in Memphis was right there.
Yeah, and that's when you had
Austin Lawler and Jarrett.
Yep, Austin and Stone Cold before he was Stone Cold. Mm-hmm. When that's when he was USWA champ. Yeah, so I started watching wrestling when I was a little kid. It's something that I like. I still watch it now as a grown-ass man because it reminds me of my grandmother. You know, my grandmother's still here, but it reminds me when I was a kid, when I was like, when my earliest memory was like watching fucking NWA wrestling. My grandma from Georgia, you know what I'm saying? And we lived in the Bay, but we had NWA in the Bay, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Yeah, we had NWA in the Bay, bro. That's a San Francisco promotion.
Because they had NWA like every state basically back then.
Yeah. Pat Patterson, he wrestled out of San Francisco, so we had NWA there. So, and we had WWF too, but I grew up watching WWF and NWA that became WCW, and I always was more like, I like sport. I don't really give a fuck about spectacle and all that weird old shit. I don't care. So, some of my favorite wrestlers did come from WWF, but I cared more about sports. So now, like, as I got older, I had stopped watching wrestling. When I got to high school, when WCW got bought out in 2001, I stopped fucking with it. I was like, nah, I'm cool. Like, I'm gonna go hustle and fuck with bitches. That's what I'm gonna do right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool on the wrestling thing. And I didn't start watching that shit again until like 2004. And that's when like Edge and Randy Orton was winning. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So me and my nigga in college, we used to watch that shit. I stopped watching it again, like 2009. Edge retired. I was like, man, fuck wrestling. I'm cool, bro. That was my nigga. I'm like, bro, I'm cool, bro. I ain't fucking with this shit. And then I started watching it again in like 14. And that's when Bray Wyatt was starting to pop off. And I'm like, I like this nigga. This nigga don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And I got disillusioned with WWE, man. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't like WWE.
Nah, I don't, because you know what? The thing I don't fuck with it is because they don't – it's not a sport. it's all spectacle, and it's like they don't do marathon matches like they used to when we was kids. Like, you remember
Iron Man.
Like, they do, like, Seth Rollins, for example. Seth Rollins is one of the best wrestlers in the world, but you would never know because they don't push him to his limit.
Yeah. Now,
I remember I was starting to watch the first – I started watching New Japan Pro Wrestling in, like, 16. And I came across – it was, like, Wrestle Kingdom. So, it was, like, AJ –
Yeah,
it was, like, AJ Styles versus Nakamura. They both from WWE now. And this is in Tokyo and shit. So, I'm, like – I seen Kenny Omega, and I'm, like, this – and this is when Kenny Omega was fucking – he didn't get a start popping yet. He wasn't even, like, G1 champ, none of that shit. I'm watching this thing. I'm, like, oh, this one, he was the cleaner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how I got the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
So, this was like Bullet Club, and Bullet Club got me back into wrestling. So, New Japan, I fuck with it because it's really a sport. Like, they treat it like a sport. It's like watching a boxing match. You know what I'm saying? It ain't all spectacle and magic and glittery like Vince McMahon like to do and shit. So, I watch New Japan. I watch AEW. I like MLW.
That's the one I like. I like that one. That shit hard.
Yeah, MLW. I fuck with Jacob Fatu. That nigga from Oakland, too.
Okay.
Yep. Jacob Fatu. That's Tonga Kid's son.
But then they got a the tag team in New Japan, the Barbarian Sons, Gods of War, some shit like that.
Gods of War. That's from the Bullet Club. That's
It was hard.
Yeah, them niggas is hard. Them niggas is that's what's his name, bro? You Barbarian Son.
I would say who's your favorite leader of the Bullet Club? Who's your favorite leader?
It's been a hell of them.
You had who was your favorite leader?
Okay,
out of all of them.
It was hell of them.
Mine was probably AJ Styles.
Yeah, it was on top when AJ was winning.
Yeah.
It was on top. I liked when Kenny was in, but Kenny wasn't really no leader. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, if AJ hadn't left for WWE, Kenny wouldn't be as big as he is now at all. You know what I'm saying? I did like, but Kenny has become one of my favorite wrestlers in the last, 5 years. I like Los Ingobernables, motherfucking Naito, Tetsuya, and fucking some of the Japanese cats, you know what I'm saying? Tetsuya Naito, who's the IWGP world champion. That motherfucker, he reminds me of Shawn Michaels, you know what I'm saying? That motherfucker's a beast. This nigga go to the ring with a full suit on, nigga. This nigga be having a full burgundy suit on, nigga. Like, walk out to the ring. He's sad. I fuck with Okada on some babyface shit. I know men don't like baby faces, but Okada's a beast.
I would say, do they still show it on TV? Or they don't show it on TV no more? I remember they had a show, but it was like Jim Ross was on it back then, so I know he ain't on
it. Yeah, they had it on TV. I got the network, bro. Like, I got the app. Like, now I've been paying. Like, I don't even, that's the type of nigga like me. Like, I don't really fucking subscribe to shit other than Spotify. But I got the app, G, because I wanted to, like, watch all the old shit. Like, you got Hulk Hogan versus Great Muta on there from 93. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some of the best matches I ever seen. Actually, the best match I ever seen in wrestling was Okada versus Omega.
Oh yeah, they just did.
They had three different matches.
Which one?
I liked all three of them. The first one was Wrestle Kingdom. That was like 1 hour and 15 minutes.
Mm.
The second one was called Old Dominion. Old Dominion is like their SummerSlam. And that was like, I think it was 1 hour limit. It was a Broadway, so they both tied. And the third one was like 1 hour 15 with Kenny on the belt. But it was like a real fucking match. Like, WWF, they don't really do that. You know what I'm saying? The Japanese wrestlers, they motherfuckers be exhausted after the matches. Like, they give everything. You know what I'm saying?
And then what I like what was getting me mad, because I was like, man, they was taking all Impact wrestlers. Like, even the people on top now are from Impact. So I liked Impact when they was kind of like, for a minute, Impact was hot, but then they brought in all them old WCW wrestlers, and they messed up. You know, they brought Hogan back and Bischoff and all that shit.
The thing is, I didn't watch TNA.
Okay.
I didn't start watching Impact honestly until I stopped watching WWE. Like when I started watching New Japan, I started watching a little bit, and that's when they had Broken Matt Hardy and all that shit.
Yeah.
But I watch it now. I mean, shit, honestly, Impact is cool. Like they got that cool little setup. They got Tessa Blanchard and
I like Willie Mack.
Willie Mack, yeah.
My homie actually just got signed. That dude, Chris Bay.
Yeah. He from the Bay. He from the Bay.
Yeah, you
should have him on your podcast, bro.
I did. Lost the interview. I am.
Chris Bay. I fuck with Impact. Impact got some solid motherfuckers, but like for me, I like NWA, the new NWA on YouTube.
Oh, I was just going. That was the next question. I was going to ask you, do you watch that? That shit hard, huh?
Yeah, because I fuck with my man, the villain, Marty Scurll, that motherfucker beast.
Yeah, I like Magnus. I think Magnus is doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Since he left, he's been holding it down. Like, he's doing good for him.
I just like what wrestling is right now because when WWE bought WCW, bro, it was like
that a monopoly. Yeah. 15 years. That shit was whack for a long ass time. I think me and you quit watching at the same time too because I was in the Marine Corps at that time, so I didn't watch it. Then I picked it up when you picked it up. But like I was saying, I think the best one is the one you were saying. I like that Major League Wrestling. That's the one.
Yeah, MLW. A lot of cats that watch wrestling. If you don't, you know, if you used to watch wrestling and you like, damn, I can't fuck with Vince and them. Man, look, you on YouTube right now, bro. Watch MLW. That motherfucker is hard. It's free.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? You know where they get that name from, right? I figured out where they get the name from. Because I watched the old school NWA, so I watched like the NWA from the 80s and shit. And Tony Schiavone, when he was reading like where they gonna perform the next week and shit, he would say, NWA, you're home for Major League Wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where they got that from. I was like, oh, that's where they got that shit. No, that shit dope. I don't know who do that shit, but that shit, I like it.
The dude that runs NWA used to be a writer. He used to be a writer for WWE in the 90s.
The NWA, but he used to do that's the Smashing Pumpkin dude.
I'm talking about MLW. I'm talking about.
Oh.
You talking about Chris? The dude from Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. Billy Corgan. Yeah, who the writer are you saying for? What's his name though?
From the NWA.
The MLW dude.
You MLW. Were saying. I don't remember. You say Court Bauer.
Yeah. I know, but I like it. It's really dope. Yeah,
It's tight. That shit is tight. Fucking NWA is tight. Lucha Underground was dope before they went under.
Yeah. I like that one too.
I mean, that's where Ricochet came out of. You know what I'm saying?
He was that Prince Puma.
And WWE don't know what the fuck they doing with him. That's the most athletic nigga in the world, bro.
Yeah, he was Prince Puma then, right?
Yeah, bro. Ricochet is the most athletic wrestler in the world, bro. But they won't let him do what he do.
Yeah, but then at the same time, I'm kind of old school too. Like, I like that stuff too, but you don't really need that shit to do a good match too. Because, like, you know who I was always watching? I was like, damn, he was tight. Fucking Bruiser Brody.
You see, that's the NWA in you, bro.
Yeah.
I like that type of shit too, but I love my favorite style of wrestling is Lucha. Like, I love
it.
Okay. Great shit. That's why Shawn Michaels is one of my favorite wrestlers because he wrestled like a luchador.
Back in the day. Yeah, I gotta get on that. I don't watch them, but I need to get on more like just that AAA wrestling and stuff. I don't watch them.
I'm gonna tell you, if you've never seen, did you ever see Ricochet in New Japan when he was still in New Japan?
Hmm.
Oh, bro, look, here's a match you need to look up. It's a dude named Will Ospreay. It's British.
I know him.
Will Ospreay versus Ricochet, best of Super Juniors.
Hmm.
Super athletic. You know what I'm saying? You'll fuck with it. Ricochet was amazing, bro. Like, he was like a more athletic Rob Van Dam.
All right. Well, man, I appreciate it.
WWE, they not allowing – I'm telling you, they not – because, you know, WWE ain't built for cruiserweights to really show what they can do.
Yeah, they ain't never had a cruiserweight division, really. It was always WCW with the cruiserweight division.
Right. And they only signed all them cats kind of like to keep, you know, the competition from getting them. You know what I mean? Like, Ricochet would do a lot better back in New Japan. You know what I'm saying?
All right, man. I appreciate chopping up with you, bro.
For sure, man. Appreciate you for having me on. You know what I mean? If anybody want to tap in with me on IG, follow me at Kevin Hates Hip Hop. My podcast on YouTube. You sit on YouTube right now. And make sure that you subscribe to my man Poe channel. You know what I'm saying? Hit that subscribe button. That should take 2 seconds. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, hit the like button. That should mean a lot with the metrics, man. A lot of niggas don't realize that shit. It takes 2 seconds to do. You know what I'm saying? YouTube search my shit, Kevin Hates Hip Hop, all one word. And like and subscribe my shit. You know, I appreciate you for having me on, bro.
And then with your website, your Instagram is Kevin Hates Hip Hop too, right? Kevin Hates Hip Hop.
Kevin Hates Hip Hop on IG.